from KQED.
This is the California Report. I'm Lily Jamali at North State Public Radio in Chico.
And I'm Sarah Bohannon, news director here at North State Public Radio. Good morning. We begin with a development in the investigation into the Camp Fire, which killed 85 people here almost 6 months ago and destroyed much of the town of Paradise and surrounding areas.
Right, the deadliest and most destructive fire in our state's history. Well, Sarah, at a PG&E bankruptcy hearing in San Francisco yesterday, we heard from a deputy in Attorney General Javier Becerra's office, who we have now learned is investigating the cause of the Camp Fire alongside District Attorney Mike Ramsey here in Butte County. Now, this is CAL FIRE has been doing an investigation of its own. We also learned that those prosecutors have collected evidence from the transmission line that may have sparked the campfire, and that is being sent to the FBI in Quantico, Virginia for further investigation.
Well, Lily, here in Butte County, roughly 500 people have not signed up to have debris from the campfire removed from their property. The deadline to sign up passed earlier this week, and now county officials are considering gaining access to people's homes through more extreme measures. KQED's Sonia Hudson reports.
County officials are still trying to reach people they couldn't before the deadline, but in the next few weeks, they'll likely have to ask a judge for a warrant to enter people's properties. Butte County spokesperson Casey Hatcher says some people didn't know their destroyed structures were big enough to require removal. Some are trying to hire a private contractor.
Some people, I think, still feel overwhelmed with making these types of choices and just really needed some questions answered and some additional time.
Hatcher says it's important to clear the debris because it contains toxins that can get into the water. State officials estimate that the removal process will be done by early next year. For the California Report, I'm Sonia Hudson in Chico.
All right, Sarah, we're going to head to Southern California now.
That's right. That big Hollywood showdown we've been telling you about between screenwriters and their talent agents, well, it just got a dramatic twist. The Writers Guild of America, or WGA, had already directed its members to fire their agents. But yesterday, it went even bigger, filing a lawsuit against the big talent agencies. KCRW Saul Gonzalez has more.
The target of the WGA lawsuit, the four biggest talent agencies in Hollywood, WME, ICM, UTA, and CAA. The fight is over packaging fees. That's where talent agencies make money, both negotiating bigger production deals for themselves while representing their screenwriter clients at the same time. The WGA argues that creates a business conflict of interest it says is illegal under state and federal law.
We'll seek a judicial declaration that packaging fees are unlawful and an injunction prohibiting the defendant agencies from entering into future packaging deals.
That's WGA attorney Tony Siegel at a press conference Wednesday.
In addition, we will seek damages and the repayment of illegal profits on behalf of writers who have been harmed by these unlawful practices in the past.
WGA member Meredith Steem, one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, created the CBS series Cold Case. She says her own talent agency struck a deal for itself in secret.
So when the show I created went into profit, CAA ended up making 94 cents for every dollar that I earned. This is indefensible.
Until such deals end, the WGA wants its members to use lawyers and managers as agents. But the talent agencies argue that amounts to unfair competition. As in so many good Hollywood dramas, the resolution may be decided in court. For the California Report, I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles.
Let's go to Silicon Valley now and the next story in our series on the tech industry's shadow workforce. If you're a contractor in the industry, your contract usually lasts less than a year, sometimes as little as a few months, and there's no formalized process to convert into a full-time employee. That's what many, like the contractor you're about to hear from, are hoping for. He's in his mid-30s, married with one kid and another on the way. His wife lives in another country with their young child. We're not saying where to protect his identity. We're also not saying his name for the same reason. The plan was for him to bring them over once he had a full-time job, but it has been over 4 years working contract to contract at different companies. KQED's Sam Harnett spoke with him by phone.
How often do you see your family?
Once a year, approximately. Every month I send money to them so they can take care of themselves.
So you spend a lot of time on like Skype or?
Yeah, so I see them on a chat called Line every day. And we just try to have these talks. And I'm just watching my kid grow up right now. My son recognizes me. He still knows me as dad, but most of the times I can't be there for him physically. My wife just tries to trust in me now. She gives me so much love, so I just respect her for that. She was hoping that I would get a full-time job. She's been very supportive of me. In terms of people experience, I have nothing but good things to say within all of the organizations. In terms of contracting, I think it makes people feel like second-class citizens. Full-time conversion would mean stability. I will know that I won't have to start looking for another job 2 months before my current contract ends. I'm willing to work really hard to eventually have a path for conversion. As long as that's possible, then I'm just gonna keep trying, and there's nothing else I can do, really.
Next time, we're going to hear from the tech companies about their contractor workforce. KQED's Sam Harnett will explain how Silicon Valley developed outsourcing and contracting models that have now been exported to other industries.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, providing customers a real-time dashboard view into all of their financial accounts with insight-driven wealth advisory services. PersonalCapital.com. Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden through simple acts like unplugging unused devices. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that is the California Report for this Thursday, April 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Jamali at North State Public Radio in Chico.
And I'm Sarah Bohannon. Have a great day.